Well, good morning, everyone. It is so great to be here with you this morning. Man, I love the energy. Thank you, Antoine. Thank you, Jake's energy. I'm hoping the caffeine kicks in soon so I can even come close to that. That was fantastic. My name is John. I'm one of the teachers here at the church, and we are starting a new series called Transformed. And I love the idea of this because I feel like I need God's transformation. And I actually really like the picture that was put together. You know, it's, you know, when we think of transformation, we think of butterflies because, you know, the caterpillar, the butterfly, the transformation, it comes out all beautiful. And we got these pretty peaceful colors associated with it. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, that's good, but usually when we're going through a change, it's messy. There's crying, there's screaming, there's clothes all over the floor, right? Transformations are not always colorful and pretty. So I was thinking, you know what? ChatGPT and I have a little bit of work to do. We're going to look at a few other symbols and things that go through transformations, and here's some of the things that we came up with. The first one, pretzels. Twisted, stretched, and salted, but still soft on the inside. Number two is banana bread. Even the bad spots get baked into something good. French fries. Ordinary beginnings into irresistible outcomes. Don't I know it? Popcorn. You can't reach your potential without some heat. This is my favorite one. Cheese, milk that refused to stay ordinary. Well, we're going to be talking over the next several weeks about transformation, and there's been this amazing promise from God that He will help transform us. And friends, I got to tell you, even since I was a young kid, I felt this longing for transformation. I can remember back when I was 10 years old, and I'm reading comic books, and in the back of comic books, there is this ad of this skinny kid who gets sand kicked in his face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe I'm dating myself a little bit here. And this bully comes along, kicks sand in his face, and steals the girl. And Charles Atlas, this big buff guy, says, "You can be the guy that goes back and gets all muscly and go back and take care of that guy. Don't let anybody steal your girl and kick sand in your face on the beach." I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want to be that guy. And you may be thinking, well, come on, John, it's an ad in the back of a comic book. Surely, you know, you're not going to fall for something like that and, you know, get some cheesy little pamphlet or something like that. Of course I wouldn't do that. But I had a friend named Juan who collected some allowance money, you know, put it in an envelope, sent it in, and was waiting anxiously to get back this pamphlet that's going to let him know how to become buff and really go change the world out there. Eventually, Juan got the pamphlet in, and it basically said you need to do a bunch of push-ups. Well, Juan decided reading comic books is a lot more fun than doing a lot of push-ups, so not a lot of transformation happening there. But friends, as it turns out, I'm not the only one, and Juan, who long for transformation. 10 million books a year, self-help books a year, are sold. And I'm sure some of them are pretty good, but they can't be all that great because next year, 10 million self-help books are going to be sold, saying basically the same thing that the ones last year said. But we have some great news. God wants to transform us, and we really only need one book to become who He wants us to be. So just take a second, turn to someone close to you, and say, God wants you to transform. I know some of you are pretty excited to tell that to the person closest to you. So let's go ahead and take a look at Romans 12 and this beautiful passage in the first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, Paul certainly acknowledges that there's no lack of people and organizations and companies and governments out there trying to tell us how to think and how to spend our money and what to do and how to spend our time. There's lots of people and companies out there telling us, here's what you need to do. Here's the best choice you can make. And in all of that noise that's coming at us, God knows that we really need to be transformed from the inside out on how to become wise and how to make the best choices. And so he says, I am going to help you. I'm going to send my spirit to transform your head and your heart so that you can become wise. And it's an amazing promise. It's a beautiful promise. But as we're going through this transformation, and I know some of you have felt this, where you've given your life to God, especially when you've first been baptized, and you said, I want Jesus to be my King and Savior, and you're buried in baptism with him, and you're raised up this new person, and it just feels amazing, and you have all this hope, and you have a new peace, and you're curious, and you want to learn and see the world through God's eyes. It's amazing, and you can feel this transformation happening. But I think over time, that transformation starts to slow down. And I think some of us hit a wall after a while, and we're not changing anymore. Maybe we still have some issues with anger that we're dealing with. Maybe we're still dealing with relationship issues. Maybe we're still making some bad choices about our future or money. And we're wondering what happened. The good news, friends, the good news is that your transformation is not blocked by God's unwillingness. Are you hearing that? Your transformation is not blocked by God's unwillingness. He wants you to change. He wants you to become that person that you are always supposed to be. He's given that spirit there to help complete that transformation. So what's going on? Why do so many of us hit a wall and can't seem to get through the rest of it? So I got to tell you, my family and I love to hike. We enjoy going on some longer hikes, climbing mountains. And in fact, this last summer, we went on a pretty strenuous hike in the Shenandoah Mountains somewhere. I don't even remember which one it was, but it was a hike. It was like putting your treadmill at the max height and just going for hours. It was rough. And fortunately, my kids allowed my wife and I to pause several times, catch up, get a little bit of rest. Man, they're ready to go. But they're very generous with their time with us. And along the way, as we're climbing up this mountain, there are scenic overlooks, so you can see the progress that you're making. You can see out, and you can see the valley, and you can see how much you've climbed already and how the world looks different around you. And it's a beautiful view. But we're not at the summit yet, so we keep climbing. And eventually, we get to what looks like the top of the mountain, and it's amazing. The views are gorgeous. We literally saw eagles soaring across the side of the mountain on the air currents. It was fabulous looking down at the valley and just seeing the world in a different way. Now, Nancy and I are sitting down, and we're having a snack, catching our breath, And Hunter and Autumn, though, they see that there's still some stone columns, literally these columns that are going up even further. And there's several of them. And they start talking about, how can we climb this? And then they look over at me and I'm like, nope. Have at it. I'm not climbing that thing. That looks a little scary. It was not a trail. It was a climb. And they look at Nancy and she's like, nope. And they go back over and they're figuring out ways to get to the top. And eventually, they're up, I don't know, another 20 or 30 feet looking down and saying, the view up here is spectacular. Come on up and take a look. But you know what the problem is, friends, is that I was perfectly content where I was. And then when I'm looking at the climb that I was going to have to take, honestly, I had a little bit of fear. It was kind of scary to me, so I said, no, you know what, I'm just going to be satisfied with where I'm at. Anybody ever felt that way? You know what I'm talking about? So let me repeat, our transformation is not blocked by God's unwillingness. We are getting in our own way when it comes to completing that transformation. It's our satisfaction with sitting with where we're at and the fear of what we're going to have to continue to give up to gain the rest of that transformation. Paul says, give your body as a living sacrifice. And friends, that doesn't mean the parts of my life that are comfortable, the parts of my life where I'm like, hey, God, please take this over, and we just toss it over. And God does transform those parts. And he does give us joy and hope. But unfortunately, sometimes there's parts of our life that we're still hanging on to, that we haven't given up yet, that we're afraid to hand over. Maybe it is that anger because I like the power that it gives me, the feeling that it gives me. Maybe I'm afraid of handing over my finances and some of my choices and how I spend my time because I'm not sure what God's going to do with it, so I'm still hanging on to it. Maybe it's some habits. I'm guessing, friends, lots of us have these comfort zone issues that we're still hanging on to. And as I'm talking about it, maybe you're thinking about some of these as we talk about this. God says, give it all. It's not about trying harder. It's not about practicing for 10,000 hours. It's about releasing more. And God will take that and he will transform it for you. You don't even have to do anything active. God says, I will do it for you. You just have to open up those areas of your life to me and I will do the hard work. But we still have this fear. Now, when I told you my family likes to go climbing, my kids have taken it to another level. Hunter and Autumn go to this rock climbing gym to practice, and they've taken me a couple times. Am I being turned off? And
it's the mic. It's me.
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, if I drop something or fall off the stage, you know why now, because I'm carrying around a mic. So they go to this gym, it's over in Alexandria, and they have 20-foot walls, 40-foot walls, 65-foot walls. And I've gone a couple times with them. And when we're doing these taller walls, you don't climb without a harness. And you have this harness on, there's a rope that goes over, and one of my kids, Hunter or Autumn, would be on the other side wearing a harness and holding the rope. But even on the 40-foot wall, maybe 40-foot, doesn't sound all that tall, but I can tell you, when you're 25 feet up and you're barely hanging on with a death grip, and you're looking down, 25 feet looks like, yeah, I can crack my head on those cushions. That's no problem for me.
But the amazing thing is when I'm looking down and I have some fear about falling, my kids look at me and see that, and they say, "Don't worry. I got you. You can keep climbing. I have you." Man, those are great words to hear. God says literally the same thing. You don't have to fear when you provide this sacrifice to me. Paul says, by the mercies of God, we're going to take a look back in Romans 8. What are these mercies that he's talking about? Starting in verse 31, just soak this in. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I don't think you're excited enough about that. I'm going to read this last section again. We're going to try this again. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. Yes. Friends, God is saying, I got you. When you're staring there looking down and you're afraid of what you need to give up or what might happen in your future, God is saying, I got you. There's nothing going to separate you from me. You can hand it all over. I got you. That is such good news, friends. Now, sometimes I think we see this word sacrifice and we have to hand over our entire life, and that word gets us. It sounds like a tax. It sounds like it's going to cost us. When I say the word sacrifice, it almost sounds like there's a bridge I got to cross and there's a toll that I'm going to have to pay that's going to be painful. And that's not it at all. What Paul's saying is not only what you get back from God is amazing, the fact that you get to hand over your life is a gift in itself. You don't have to hang on to these things and try to do it by yourself. You don't have to be ashamed of these things that you are afraid of and pulling out. You can hand over everything. You can release more because God is there. And he's going to turn it into something amazing. Something far more than you could do on your own. That is fantastic news. Friends, today is the day that we can come to the altar with the rest of our life, with the things that we're hanging on to, and hand them over to God and let him transform them on the altar. And then see what our life looks like after that. To enjoy increased sense of peace. To feel joy in the toughest of challenges. To be able to make decisions with the heart and the mind of God. To be able to see the world the way God can see it. That is what he is offering to us if we meet him at the altar, and we can do that today. Don't wait. Maybe today you haven't yet given your life to Christ at all. You're still hanging on. Maybe there's some doubts. Today, that could be the day that you bring it for the very first time. You could learn about baptism, this idea where we're going under the water, and we're being cleansed of all our sins and the problems and the mistakes that we've made in the past. And you come up with Christ through the other side of death as a new creation, open to God's Spirit filling us and transforming us into something brand new. That is available to all of us. We're going to keep singing here in just a second. As we do, let today be the day. Come to the altar with your hands wide open. Let's release anything else that we've been hanging on to with the knowledge that God is going to turn it into something new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this just amazing promise. In a world filled with just sin and hurt and division and anger, we know you want us to be beacons of hope and light, and we need you in our life to be able to do that. Heavenly Father, fill us right now. Let your Holy Spirit come and remove the fear. Let us know with certainty that you got us. There's nothing that can separate us from your love. You are the King, and all joy and hope comes from you. If there's anybody in here, Heavenly Father, that's ready to move forward with that next step and need the prayers of this church, give them the courage to come forward as we stand and sing. In your name we said, and the church said,